He's gross. Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick recently went off script in an interview with popular conservative commentator Miranda Devine of the New York Post. When asked about convicted pedophile Jeffrey Epstein and why so many rich and powerful people spent time with the serial sex offender, Lutnick said, "They participated. That's what his MO was, you know, get a massage, get a massage. And what happened in that massage room, I assume, is on video. This guy was the greatest blackmailer ever. That's how he had money." Lutnick would know all of this because, when Epstein lived in New York City, Lutnick lived next door. Lutnick, however, said he and his wife recognized Epstein as a degenerate and avoided him. That seems to be accurate, as there is no evidence Lutnick ever spent time with Epstein. The same can't be said for many other rich and powerful people. According to multiple reports, elites who frequently spent time with Epstein included former President Bill Clinton, former Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Barak, billionaire tech entrepreneur Bill Gates, President Donald J. Trump, and multiple billionaires. Where are the videos? In his interview with Miranda Devine, Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick speculated on what happened to all the videotapes deceased pedophile Jeffrey Epstein had on rich and powerful people. Lutnick told her, "I assume way back when, they traded those videos in exchange for him getting that 18-month sentence, which allowed him to have visits and be out of jail. I mean, he's a serial sex offender. How could he get 18 months and be able to go to his office during the day and have visitors and stuff? It must have been a trade. My assumption is there was a trade for the videos because there were, well-known, people on those videos. U.S. is struggling. The truth is finally sinking in that the U.S. economy has been struggling for years despite the phony economic numbers published by both Democrat and Republican administrations. On October 1, CNBC reported on the latest jobs numbers, very disappointing. It was a weak number. This is private sector jobs for September. The total comes in negative 32,000. And that was a surprise because economists were looking for an increase of 51,000. Also, the revision was not good. August was revised down sharply, the month now showing negative 3,000 compared to the initial read of positive 54,000. This news follows recent reports that the job numbers from early 2024 through March 2025 under President Joe Biden and into the new Trump administration had to be revised down by 911,000 jobs, trimming by half the nearly 1.8 million jobs the Democrats claimed had been created under Biden. Dollar troubles. In the last 6 months, the U.S. stock market has hit new peaks, but the same can't be said for the U.S. dollar, which has taken a beating, reports the Financial Times. The dollar has dropped by more than 10% so far this year, says the Times. With still more than one quarter of 2025 to go, that would already make this the weakest year for the world's dominant trade and reserve currency in more than two decades, carving out declines against every other major currency on the planet. No new wars. On September 24, conservative writer Nick Fuentes took to social media site X to excoriate the Trump administration for recent policy announcements. In just the last week, wrote Fuentes, Trump called to reinvade Afghanistan, vowed to help Ukraine defeat Russia, and is currently pushing for regime change in Venezuela. And it's only a matter of time before Israel drags us to war against Iran again. What happened to no new wars? Foreign giveaways. Reuters reported on October 3 that President Donald Trump approved $230 million in security aid to Lebanon in an effort to bolster the country's push to disarm Lebanese militia group Hezbollah. While the Trump administration rightfully calls for scaling back DC spending, it makes no sense to hand out this much money to the tiny country of Lebanon. In fact, the only real reason for this was to help Israel, which has been fighting Hezbollah since the small militia group forced the Israeli military out of southern Lebanon in May 2000. Entangling alliances. On September 29, President Donald Trump further entangled the United States in the violent chaos of the Middle East by signing an executive order guaranteeing the security of the tiny, rich country of Qatar. In light of the continuing threats to the state of Qatar posed by foreign aggression, it is the policy of the United States to guarantee the security and territorial integrity of the state of Qatar against external attack. Trump was evidently responding to Israel attacking Qatar in an effort to kill members of Hamas, who have been living there while trying to negotiate a peace deal with Israel. None of this makes any sense, as the Trump administration continues to fund Israel's war machine to the tune of several billions dollars annually. Pays to be pro-Israel. Media outlet Paramount announced on October 5 that it had hired publisher Barry Weiss to serve as editor-in-chief of CBS News and was purchasing Weiss's small media company for $150 million, an astounding figure considering Weiss only publishes a few articles a month on a basic website that is hosted by the popular platform, Substack. Paramount is owned by the son of billionaire Larry Ellison, who is one of the most stridently pro-Israel billionaires in the world. In the past, Weiss has described herself as a Zionist fanatic. The move places Weiss at one of the top perches in the collapsing broadcast news industry, which has been hemorrhaging viewers for the past decade. Pays to be pro-Israel Redux. Israel has been buying off U.S. social media influencers in an effort to stop its public relations nightmare. Newly released documents uncovered by independent journalists show that Bridges Partners, a firm working for the Israeli Ministry of Foreign Affairs, sent a series of invoices for its influencer campaign to Havas Media Group Germany, an international media group working for Israel. The invoices detailed a sum of $900,000, starting in June and slated to end in November, for a group of about 14 to 18 influencers to create content. The company estimated that the group was expected to produce 75 to 90 posts in that time frame. Doing the math, that would be around $7,000 per post. U.S. voters sour on Israel. Less than half of U.S. voters, 47%, say they believe that support for Israel is in America's national interest, according to a survey of U.S. voters in September. That was down from 69% in December 2023, 3.5 months after the October 7 Hamas raid on Israel. Opinions of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu were even more negative. Only 21% of respondents said they had a favorable opinion of Netanyahu. Redistricting frenzy. More states are now positioning themselves to rearrange their voting districts in advance of the midterm elections in November 2026. Missouri Republicans recently pushed through a new set of congressional lines that may add a new opportunity for them in the House ahead of the election. The Show Me State joins legislators in California, Florida, Illinois, Indiana, Kansas, Maryland, Nebraska, Ohio, and Texas, who are all frantically moving around political lines in the hopes that they will pick up a few more seats in the House by 2026. Theories on Kirk killing. On September 21, FBI Director Kash Patel wrote on internet social media site, X, that federal law enforcement would be investigating a number of theories related to the killing of conservative activist Charlie Kirk. "We are examining every facet of this assassination," wrote Patel. "We are meticulously investigating theories and questions, including the location from where the shot was taken, the possibility of accomplices, the text message confession and related conversations, social media site, Discord chats, the angle of the shot and bullet impact, how the weapon was transported, hand gestures observed as potential signals near Charlie at the time of his assassination, and visitors to the alleged shooter's residence in the hours and days leading up to September 10. Scripted evidence. Prominent conservative commentators are questioning cell phone texts purportedly made by Tyler Robinson in the hours after he allegedly shot and killed Charlie Kirk. Critics claim the texts, which have been released by state and federal officials, look too conveniently like a movie script written to tie up loose ends and explain exactly how Robinson killed Kirk and fled police and why Robinson decided he had to murder Kirk because of Kirk's conservative views. In the days following the political assassination, popular conservative commentator Steve Bannon told his listeners, "I'm not buying these text messages. It seems too much like a script, actually, a very bad script." Popular conservative talk show host Candace Owens echoed Bannon's views, saying, "These messages are clearly doctored.